News Radio 118 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Bray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is Saturday, the 17th of January, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you get to listen to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Plasilla.
And our producer today is Hannah.
Even though she won't go on camera because she says she's very shy.
Well, she's busy on the phone at the moment.
She's on the phone. She's a busy woman.
Next time we come back on, we'll have to get her to say Hannah.
I bet that doesn't happen.
Oh, we'll shame her into it.
I bet that doesn't happen. But first we're going to go to the news, and we'll start with the lovely and talented Tony Plasilla.
Oh, how you doing? Java, we all have our wonderful foibles with it when we're hitting our web browser. A lot of people don't realize how pervasive Java is in things not web browser related. Like, anybody with a smartphone? Anywhere? Smartphone runs Java. There's a little embedded chip in the back end. One of the more interesting things, possibly the best camera in the universe right now, the Mars rover. The Mars rover runs Java. That's the programming software used to run that. So it's something to think about how versatile it is. If you're getting into computer science and programming, Java's the language of choice for any kind of embedded application.
Yeah, it used to be Java was like the geek language,
yeah.
And then it was the joke language, and now everybody uses it for everything.
And it just works. I mean, you can do everything. Database calls, real-time programming. It's a wonderfully structured object-oriented language. I'm beginning to learn it.
And it's cross-platform.
It is. If it's well-written,
yeah.
That's the operative phrase,
right.
Like anything.
If
it's well-written, it just works.
Yeah, I'm actually a big fan of Java, if I were a programmer.
Yeah.
It's almost like Forth used to be.
I love Forth.
Yeah.
Oh.
Forth, my favorite language.
What happened to Fifth?
There is a Fifth.
There is a Fifth. Fourth is great. I actually do use Fourth because I work on Spark machines, and the embedded EEPROMs
right.
On Spark processors are programmed in Fourth.
And anybody who programs in PostScript is programming in Fourth.
That's the, like PL1 and Fortran.
Fortran, yeah. That's.
I have a friend who was an APL programmer.
PL1, Pascal.
And the annoying thing is my college didn't consider those foreign languages. they wanted me to take Spanish or German. I have 17 foreign languages.
and of them all, APL is the most foreign.
Yeah.
It's easier to rewrite a program than to fix a program in APL.
I'll just say one word, assembler.
I love
assembler. Yeah.
I had a boss who did 6502 assembly code in his head. He'd sit down in the monitor on an Apple II and type in code, and it would be right.
Yeah, for those of you who really want to get into the bizarreness of what we're talking about, do a Google search on the legend of Mel.
And
it'll point you to the jargon file eventually, and we'll talk about the story of legend of Mel. That's a real program.
That's fun stuff.
I had to do when I took assembler at RIT.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do it on punch card.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then,
did they have computers when you were at RIT?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we had little squirrels, you know, running the generators and running like
guys in the back room tapping it out on
tablets. Literally, you had to go with the deck of cards, submit them, and then the following day you'd quick go back to the lab to pick it up, and it's like, oh, darn, one of the cards was punched off a little bit,
right.
So you had to resubmit it.
Or you drop them and they fall out of order.
Well, the best thing is when you're working behind the desk and some newbie comes up with his cards and you take them and you run his thing, and then you go to hand them back to him, you have a blank deck of cards. And just as you go to hand them to them, you go, oops, and they're everywhere.
Yeah, they quickly learn the value of rubber band and a magic marker.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Steve, what's up in the Apple world?
Well, continuing on with some of the Macworld announcements, iLife 04 was released yesterday, except here in the Northeast, where bad weather has delayed shipping trucks all over.
Really?
So no one in town has it yet. iLife 04 is the new collection of Apple's Digital Life programs. They're calling it like Microsoft Office, but for your real life. The updated versions of iPhoto can now handle a 25,000 photo library. When iPhoto first came out, it was early digital cameras, and Apple was figuring people would have 100, 200, 500 digital photos maybe. People are taking so many thousands and thousands of photos that that the current versions of iPhoto kind of struggle when you hit about 2 or 3,000. So the new version will handle 25,000 photos very quickly. A new version of iMovie with fancier transition effects, better type effects and titling effects. New iDVD, better compression, now allows 2 hours on a consumer-grade DVD. Plus, a big feature now, you don't have to own a SuperDrive in order to run iDVD. A big request from schools where you can author your disk on several machines, and then when you're done authoring it, take it to the one machine that has the SuperDrive. And then the new program in iLife is called GarageBand. And it's basically...
I'm already scared.
It's basically a music program, and it comes with several thousand pre-built loops, so you can do royalty-free pre-built audio tracks for your iMovies and your iPhoto soundtracks. It has keyboard support. Apple is now selling a $99 USB keyboard, velocity-sensitive keyboard, so you can type your do your own music. And it's the most exciting of the new programs because it's the newest one, and we're anxiously awaiting trying to play with it and see what happens. At the keynote, they had John Mayer come up and show off some of the neat things you could do with it. Load in a dozen loop tracks behind it, and then plug your guitar in or your piano keyboard in and do some really neat music with it.
Cool. So now you can have your very own GarageBand without disturbing anybody.
Because you can plug your headphones into the Mac.
Right. Those of you whose children are drummers, now you win because nobody has to go right to the drummer's house anymore. Used to be always practice at the drummer's house. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Flacilla, Hannah, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This week, RochesterForLess.com offers another great deal on one of Rochester's premier restaurants, Tastings, the relaxed and stylish restaurant adjacent to Wegmans in Pittsburgh. Tastings takes only the absolute best ingredients from the market next door, prepares it to a T, and serves it to you with a simple elegance. The menu entrees are light, seasonal, and approachable, much like the three distinct dining areas. Tastings also boasts an extensive wine list featuring 900 bottles from around the globe. Log on to RochesterForLess.com for more details.
Don Buick delivers sound bites.
Welcome to Watch World. Can I help you?
Yeah, is this watch waterproof?
Yep, to 48,000 meters.
Really?
No, not really. I kind of made that up.
You don't know if it's waterproof?
Not a clue.
Can you tell me anything about this watch?
It's shiny.
What kind of dope guy are you?
Well, till yesterday, the kind that wore a pointy hat and sold French fries.
Want the real lowdown on your favorite products? Go to PriceGrabber.com. In seconds, you're comparing tons of information on brands, features, and prices. And at PriceGrabber, you'll find thousands of merchants offering millions of top-name items.
So you know nothing about watches?
Not a thing.
And you totally make up your answers?
Totally.
In that case, I'll take this watch.
Really?
No, not really.
PriceGrabber.com. Comparison shopping beyond compare.
Tired of traffic jams and crowded malls? Check out PriceGrabber.com, where you can find top name brands from thousands of merchants, all from the convenience of your own computer. This message is brought to you by Salino and Barnes. Winter driving can be treacherous. Please keep a safe distance between you and the car in front of you, as it takes longer to stop due to snowy road conditions. If you drive a truck or SUV, remember, four-wheel drive does not mean four-wheel stop. Presented by Salino and Barnes, the largest personal injury firm in Western New York. 454-2020. Salino and Barnes wish you and your family a safe 2004.
Zip, zip, zip. Gotta fill her up fast. Fill my tank to the brim with performance gas. Heading down to the Diamond Shamrock. Drive in. Zip back.
Talked about a retirement home at the lake.
Buying a camper.
Living in the south of France.
Talking retirement.
Talk to your State Farm agent. They have a variety of options, including annuities that can provide guaranteed income and flexible payouts.
What about our original plan?
What's that?
Become rock stars and retire early.
We live where you live.
Planning for tomorrow? Call today.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Providing insurance and financial services.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show. It's brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. It's America's Money Show. Money Talk with Bob Brinker. Saturdays and Sundays at 4 on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Plasilla.
And we have Hannah, our producer today.
I guess she, you know,
she's a private human being, and she has the right to be so.
We'll fix that.
Yeah.
Eventually, yes. Yes, we will.
This is the internet. Nothing is private.
Exactly. I'm trying to lull her into a sense of security. Give me a break here, guys.
Okay. They lurk back in the weeds and all of a sudden just jump out.
All right. We're going to go to a little more news before we get to the phones. We have Dave Enright.
All right. I knew this was going to happen. I mean, a lot of folks are, oh, no. Once they make up their mind, they're not going to do it. Basically, what it is, folks, for all you folks that had Windows 98, and we were telling you before, that as of, what was it, December 31st, 2004, all support for Windows 98 and 98 Second Edition were supposed to end. You know, it was going to go away, too bad, you know, if you needed help, oh, forget it. Well, enough folks complained and enough out there worldwide put enough pressure on Microsoft that now the date has been extended for both Windows 98, 98 SE, and Windows... to June 30th, 2006. So, you know, I mean, you folks that all of a sudden thought, oh, I got to dump all my computers because I can't put XP on my current computers because they just won't support it, and I don't want to spend the money, especially with today's economy, have no fear. The support is now there and at least until June 6th of 2006, or June 30th of 2006. So that means any more updates and everything else are still going to be there. People writing programs with this announcement are still going to support Windows 98, and I think they were going to do that anyways because the bed of 98 machines out there is far greater than it is right now for XP.
The important thing, though, really, is the update.
Security patches
and
hole fixes.
One of the cool parts is you'll be able to order a CD from Microsoft at some point in the near future with all of the 98 support documents on it. So you'll have those to hand because they're going to stop supporting it in the sense that you'll be able to call them and get help.
Right. Well, you can still call, but it's going to be on a fee.
Right.
No fee-based
support, but you'll be able to get a CD with the support on it.
And it is pushing 7 years old already, and it's hard to believe that a modern program would run on a machine that old.
But 98 though, SD was rock solid. I mean. For the most part, you know, you could sit there and put an application on, had very few lockups or blue screens for the most part. So a lot of folks, you know, if they're just using, say, like in law offices, you know, if they're just using a particular program and that's all they, you know, use it for, they don't need anything, you know, a lot higher or faster unless other programs come out deeming that they have to go up to the next operating system.
Yep.
So, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
And realistically, what do we need to run that we have to have XP or something like that?
Like I say, unless it's a specific software that's designed that will only run, say, on NT or Workstation or 2000, you know, then you're going to be forced into that corner. But most part, they're not.
The big difference is MTFS. If you've written a program that requires huge amounts of data storage, that's
right.
Sort of fair. Yes,
right.
Yes. But other than that, most things, if you, well, and people want the performance of the faster APIs that are in XP.
Right. But you're talking basically enterprise workstations.
Exactly.
We're not talking home users.
Exactly. Home users should be happy with 98 forever.
Yeah.
The problem is Microsoft doesn't make any money if you keep 98.
Oh, imagine how concerned I am about that.
Well, they certainly are, and that's the point.
They win.
You know, they don't make any money.
Yeah.
And so they need you to update, but they're coming up against the brick wall of people will dump 98, well, for a Linux box or a Mac.
Linux.
And they don't want that. They'd rather have you stay on 98 than go to the competitor.
Right.
And that's exactly where this is coming from.
Yeah, and the delays in Longhorn, which are...
Two more years
anyhow. And I don't know about you. You would know more than I, but I haven't seen anything in Longhorn that really totally impresses me.
No, there's the big difference that I've seen that interests me is the database.
We should explain what
Longhorn is. The next version of Windows that's coming out. It was supposed to be out now, and then it was supposed to be out next year, and now it's 2 years out. Basically, there's not a lot of difference. Some 3D stuff in the GUI, and the operating system is supposed to be database based.
Yeah, it's opposed to like any Unix, journaling file system.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you're running high end digital photos or video or animation or 3D stuff, you're going to want the superest, fastest.
But then again, sales.
And then again, you get
a roll.
Then again, you get
go to your parents' wallet. Open. And Hannah probably doesn't even know he did that 50 years ago? 40 years ago?
Television used to be black and white, Hannah. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the...
We had three channels if we were lucky.
Yeah.
If we were lucky. I tried to explain that to my daughter the other day. She absolutely would not believe me.
And you didn't have remotes. You had to get up and change the channel.
And I can remember when Channel 31 started. And oh, my goodness, a fifth channel.
Right.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid.
I remember when XXI started. Oh, my God, a third channel.
Yeah.
Puppy.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not. really quick now. A new study came out from the World Internet Project. All of you who actually get up on the internet, stand tall, stand proud. The image of the average net citizen, or netizen as we call them, contrasts with the stereotype of the loner geek. The typical internet user is an avid reader of books, spends more time engaged in social activities than the non-internet user. Television viewing is down among them. They actually have friends. Many of them date and are even married. It's kind of exciting to see that we internet people are actually...
Normal?
Normal. I would say normal.
Yep.
And what they're finding is that people who use the internet are using it to enhance their social circle rather than, well, get one.
And to see children today, running IMs, it's common to have 10 or 15 IMs open. And
The students who work for me, as far as I'm concerned, unless they're doing something specific, they're mostly just waiting for a call to come in. So if they want to IM their friends, I don't care.
Yeah.
We had one lady who used to work for us, and she has since graduated. She would have a screen full of conversations, at least a dozen, 4 across and 3D.
I find it frees up the phone at home because
seriously,
I have teenage daughters. I mean, that's like Frontier loves us.
The one problem, and there's a study came out last week, is that penmanship is dying. Some national student council that's been running writing contests for the last 30 years canceled their contests because they couldn't read the papers that were coming in.
I'm not a judge for that. My kids inherited my penmanship gene. The nuns couldn't be good penmanship.
Oh, man. I actually write better with my left hand than with my right because I have to slow down and actually write with my left hand. It's frightening. My handwriting is so bad, I can't read it. I can't. I don't write anything. I type things. If I'm taking classes now, if I'm taking a class, I'll sit at the computer while I'm reading so that I can take the notes on the computer so I can at least read them at some point.
Although the thing you've mentioned in the past is when you're typing a paper for your teacher, do not use internet shortcuts.
Oh, I'll tell you what. When I teach, I have to tell my students now. A U for the word U and a 2 for the letter 2 and all the little shortcuts. I get papers that say IMO, in my opinion, or IMHO.
Well, it's a pink. Of course it's your opinion. What did I expect? Unless you cited somebody, it's your opinion.
And they should want to fill out the full words because that counts more in the word count.
Yeah.
500-page paper.
Why would you type the letter U when U takes up, you know, three times as much space?
Yeah.
You get the paper can be shorter there.
That stuff counts as a word.
Yeah, but well, it counts as a word, but you have to cram more of them into the paper.
Yeah, no, they just figure instead of wasting, say, 11 sheets of paper, they can probably get it on two by using all their IM stuff.
That's not the point. They want to look. I just had to do a 10-page paper. And, of course, you know, I just wrote down 10-page paper.
Yeah.
All the other students are going, is it double-spaced?
Right.
How big a font?
24-point font,
well,
yeah.
As it turns out, she says double-spaced is what I want. And I thought to myself, that's a 5-page paper. Mm-hmm. I write at least 4 of those a week.
In email.
In email. Well, yeah, in email, too. But that's not that hard. That's just not that hard.
But who's just double spacing anymore? It's 1.5 spacing looks nice. Double spacing looks too spaced.
Yes, it does.
If you're doing APA format, though, you best use double space.
That's right.
She who must be obeyed will find
you. It depends on whether
you've
got bifocals or not. Bifocals make double spacing a little easier.
Well, yeah, and that's a large part of it. You know, I use a larger type font than I used to. Let's just put it that way. And that 1600 by whatever it is doesn't look so good to me anymore on the screen, even with a bigger screen. So life changes as we go along, but eventually we'll all just plug into the back of our heads anyway. We're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back with your phone calls. If you're on the line, God bless you, you're more patient than I am. We'll get to you, I promise. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Hannah, and me, Dick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If you miss Wham's Bob Matthews, you drop the ball.
And I've heard so many people over the last 24 hours say big deal if Pete Rose bet on his team to win. What's so bad about that? First of all, if you have a bet on a team and you're the manager, human nature says you are going to manage that game differently, at least subconsciously, in an effort to cash your bet.
Bob Matthews, weeknights 6 till 8 on the Sports Leader. News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hello, I'm Leslie Nielsen. One of the things I love most about Toronto is its restaurants. Some of the world's best cuisine, ranging from the familiar to the exotic, and all in one city. I'll tell you one thing, I never leave hungry. Waiter.
Yes?
I'll have what that man is having.
What, a fight with his wife?
With mashed potatoes, please.
Once again, it's time for a little Toronto. This amazing new package includes a ticket to The Producers or Mamma Mia. A great dinner, a great hotel, and a great attraction from $118 U.S. Some conditions apply. Call 1-800-499-2554 or visit torontotourism.com to book your getaway today.
And I see we're all finished. How was dinner, sir?
The steak was a little tough.
You had lobster.
That explains pretty much everything.
Can I take your bid?
I'll wear it home, thank you.
Visit torontotourism.com for more details. It's time for a little Toronto.
Sound Bites, powered by Patrick Pontiac.
Look, Jamaican Blue Mountain, rich Vienna roast, all my favorite coffee blends, all in one place. I must be dreaming.
You're not dreaming. You're at Hess Express. Our mountaintop coffee shop is a coffee lover's dream. Some places don't know beans about coffee, but Hess Express is premium all the way, with a world of gourmet blends that we fresh brew every 20 minutes. That's a Hess Express guarantee.
Mmm, delicious. Who knew Hess Express had coffee this good? And these Hess Express prices, way less than that gourmet place I've been going to.
Hey, we'll even give you a free cup of our delicious mountaintop coffee. Join our Hess Express coffee club, buy 4 coffees, and get the next one free.
Free coffee. I must be dreaming.
The mountaintop coffee shop at Hess Express, a coffee lover's dream. So wake up and smell the coffee, only at Hess Express. Here's another Hess Express deal you're going to love. Get 2 Pepsi 12-packs for only $5. 2 Pepsi 12-packs, only $5 through January 31st at participating locations.
Legal questions or comments? Then be sure to join me, Rochester attorney Frank Sigelski, for Answers for the Injured this Sunday night at 7 on 1180 WHAM.
These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Pasilla.
And that's Hannah. And Hannah, I need this down just a little bit, just a tiny little bit, because I'm blowing out my ear. And we are on to the phones now. All those patient people probably got nothing else to do, because where are they going to go? It's 4
still
degrees below
cold,
zero.
Yeah.
Actually, it's up to 16.
Oh, we're having a heat wave.
Oh, Hannah says we're up to 19.
19, ladies
all
and gentlemen.
Right.
Get those swimsuits
out. Get the shorts
out. Absolutely. Bikini party at my house. Our first caller is Mike from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
I'm trying to set up a network, and I'm running Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I try to set it up, I have like a router and stuff. Everything's all set. But it keeps the network wizard on Windows XP. Keeps saying it can't complete the network setup, and has an error occurred during configuration of the network on this computer. And I just keep getting it no matter what. I've even reinstalled Windows and everything.
Does it say what the error is?
No.
This is Microsoft. Of course it doesn't.
It's a wizard. It doesn't have to tell
you.
Yeah, I know. It's supposed to be a wizard to help you out. But...
couple of things. You've got a router, you say?
Yep.
Is the router serving DHCP to your internal network?
In other words, did you change any settings on the inside?
No.
All right, so that should be default DHCP.
And when you plug the cable in between the computer and the router, does the link light come on the router?
Yep.
All right. Now, when you go into with the Windows XP, have you gone in to the control panel under Device Manager to make sure that it sees the network card all right?
Yeah, it's all set, too.
Okay. One thing I'd like you to try is reset. Do you have a password set in your router?
No.
You should. But
I
that's
know,
okay
but...
at the moment, because what I want you to do is reset the router
mm-hmm.
and see if it somehow got stuck and isn't serving DHCP. Or
go to a command prompt and type ipconfig and see if your computer's receiving a
right. Let's yeah, start there. Go to a command prompt.
Mm-hmm.
Type
right now.
Yep.
All right.
Ipconfig all one word space /all.
And that should tell you if the computer's receiving an address from the
It'll
router.
It'll tell you all the addresses.
See what it may
What's
be.
What's it again? IP?
IPconfig.
All one word. IPconfig.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know one thing to try.
It's not going to work. There's two L's in all.
One other thing you can try, Mike, if you're getting a valid...
Well, let's start there. What does it say when you do that?
It could just be the wizard choking and not actually anything wrong with your
you'll
network.
You'll see a Windows IP configuration. And I want you to ignore that. Then you'll see Ethernet adapter, local area connection.
Right.
Okay.
Then it says connection, specific DNS suffix, and then the name of my router.
Okay.
Then it gives me an IP address.
Perfect.
Which is?
192.168.
That's correct.
That means it's working. Your network is working.
And then it says subnet mask.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. We know it's working now.
No, one thing, can you get to the Internet?
Yeah, I'm on the internet.
Right. Then your network is working.
All right. Then one thing I would suggest you to go look for, there's a patch that helps, because what I think it is, your Winsock is
mm-hmm.
messed up. There is a patch called Winsock, WinXP patch.
Winsock?
A Winsock patch.
Winsock
I think we have it online.
Yeah, I think we've got it on.
But the Winsock should be working because he's getting an IP and he's getting to the internet.
I've still seen this. It still scrambles it up. It thinks it's getting it, but then when it tries to go out, it says it can't. In other words, he's getting out to the internet already, but his local network isn't working. And I found running that Winsock patch corrects it because it's all right for going out to the internet, but his internal intranet won't work.
It should, is that part? That's part of the Windows Update packages. If he does Windows Update, it should get that.
Yeah, I did. I did all the Windows Update.
We have a link on our website.
Go to our website.
And it wouldn't do anything if I do. It says, well, like, one of the things you could type in is ipconfig/renew.
Yep.
Would that help?
Well, that would renew your address.
But you're getting an address.
Right, you already
that's
have an
problem.
Address. Well, let's back up a step. Your network is working fine because you can get to the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So ignore the wizard.
All right.
Yeah, are you trying
to
get to another machine?
I can't get on the internet with my laptop.
Well, then you have to configure your laptop exactly the same way.
If you've got a router, that should be plugged into the... Okay, how are you trying to get to the internet with the laptop?
I have a wireless card.
All right, now...
And you have a wireless router.
Yeah. And, I mean, I just moved to a new house, and, I mean, it was working at the other house and not working now.
Is the laptop in the same room as the router?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah. What you need to do, I don't think there's anything wrong with your main machine. We're talking about the laptop now.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to do is to, you may need to reset up networking on that laptop, but your other machine is done.
You have to make sure the card can see the router first, and you're getting good signal strength.
Is the card the same manufacturer as the router?
Yeah, it is.
You got a Linksys router and a Linksys card, for example.
No, I have a Belkin.
Well, okay. Nick just died.
Well, Belkin is evil because they interrupt your internet sessions and take you to a commercial sales page.
Yeah. Run on the laptop, run the ipconfig/renew.
Okay.
And see what that does.
Yeah, you're done with the desktop. The problem is on the laptop.
All right.
Sharing files is a whole other ballgame, and that's a,
yeah, I know. I'm not even into that until I figure this out.
Yeah, the first step would be to open the wireless card configurator on the laptop and make sure it's seeing the router. If it's not, then it's never going to work, and you have to fix that problem first.
Well, he said it was working in his old house. All he did was unplug it and move it to the new house, and now it's not working.
You know, and it could be something as simple as the router itself, by default, does not serve wireless, and they have the setting on the router.
But he said it was working
at the other house.
But it was, on a Belkin, does the reset disable that? We don't know.
Right. But those are the places to start.
All right.
Okie doke, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Let us know.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye. Our next caller is Ron from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a network problem, too. I got two computers on my wired network, and one of them's XP, and the other one's Windows 98. And the XP is the main computer, and sometimes when I start it up, it's as if it's not connected to the router. There's no internet, no email, and no access to the other computer. And generally, after restarting it maybe a half a dozen times, sooner or later, you'll get all those connections back. But there seems to be no reason why it does it, like what program I used before or anything like that.
Is it a network card that's on the motherboard, or is it one that you put in?
It's one that was... It's an HP, 2 years old. It had all that Ethernet card in it and everything already.
Well, you
but
can
is
try
it,
this.
Is it a card that's plugged into a slot, or is it built onto the motherboard? Do you know? Can you? Tell
I don't
it?
Know.
Okay,
because it sounds like you might have a flaky network card that. Because I had another client, same predictment. He'd go out. As a matter of fact, it was a laptop. He'd get it in. We put the network card in. It would work 2 times, then boom, gone.
It may well be that the card itself is cracked or broken and that you're having that heat problem where there's a hairline crack in one of the wires, one of the traces on the board,
mm-hmm.
and that when it heats up enough to expand the card, it connects that break.
Okay.
And so while the machine is cold, you'll never get a connection.
The network cards are so cheap.
Yeah, and once it heats up, you're done. So here's the basic deal. If the card is built onto the motherboard, you can disable it in the BIOS.
Okay.
If it's not on the motherboard, then you could pull the card out. In either case, you should put a different card in. They're only what, $15?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
You can do that, and that will at least immediately tell you if that's the problem. Now, if you want to save yourself $15 and it is a plug-in card, try it in another slot. It could be the slot that's bad.
And the third thing to do is we oftentimes forget, check the wires.
That's
Tony's first rule of thumb.
Make sure the wires are connected, and make sure that the link light is on the router for every computer you have turned on.
Right.
You should see little flashy blinkies. I hate to tell you how many times we've done network diagnosis, and it's been the piece of Cat 5. And you'd think you'd learn it.
You're right.
But
is it? Well, yeah. And we asked,
try swapping
is it plugged
cable.
In tight? Yes. Is it plugged in tight at the other end too? Oh no, it wasn't. Thanks.
Or is it crimped somewhere?
Yeah. Well, the temperature thing might make sense because. My wife has complained on occasion that in the morning she just can't get the thing to work ever. And today's the first time I've actually witnessed that myself. I still haven't gotten it working. Then I'd come home from work around 5 or 6 o'clock and reboot a few times and it would work. So I thought she was nuts.
Yeah, sure.
But maybe the computer sat there on all day. Maybe it heated up.
Well, you could tell her it's now time for a new computer, Ron.
I think so.
That's it.
Tell her we said new computer.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, Ron.
That gets rid of all
of
them.
Now we made half that household happy. That's really all that counts.
Well, she'll be happy, too, because if she's already been experiencing that early in the morning and it's not working for her, you know, it's probably going to save him a lot of grief, too.
Yeah, but you know what? You bat 500, you're in the Hall of Fame. So as far as I'm concerned, we win.
That's it.
Works for me.
Our next caller is going to have to wait until after the news. We'll be back. And just, see, it's, Rob usually just stands up and beats me with something when it's time to go. That's why your subtle little signals didn't go for me, Anna. It's my fault entirely. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Hannah.
On the board.
And the not terribly professional Nick Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Placilla. We're not going to talk until you say something.
I'm Hannah.
Yay! And we...
The one thing that will panic a radio person. Dead air.
And we are peer pressure. A sound bite.
And we win.
And we win. Before we get back to the phones, I want to really quickly talk a little bit about what's going on our website. At soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like me to remind you. Every week, of course, we have a poll. Last week's poll, we had 384 people get in on the poll. That's number 13 on the all-time hit list. I want to thank each and every one of you for answering our poll, which was, where do you get your computer paper? And that was 10Speed, one of our forum members who gave me that poll. The winner was a computer store at 30%, other which everybody tells me actually means an office supply store, which I forgot to add. A department store, take it from work, only got 16% of the vote. I think somebody's lying. Grocery store and drug store. I didn't even know you could get computer paper at the grocery store.
I voted.
You can buy printers at Wegmans.
Yeah.
Printers and
see, for home, I take it from work. But for work, I get it from home. From the, like a Staples or whatever.
Right. An office supply store, which I left off.
So
the
but you know the boss, so.
Yeah. All right. We won't tell the boss if you won't. This week's poll.
Lori's not listening.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. And she is the boss. This week's poll is about portable MP3 players. Do you do or do you don't have one? The choices are yes, no, and huh?
You're missing one. I don't do MP3, you insensitive quad.
Oh, you're exactly right. I apologize for that because. Well, but an MP3 player of the play, you know, you do OGG. I understand that. They actually have OGG players now.
I know.
Players that will do OGG at least.
I forgot. I'm doing ACC for most of mine.
See, even though you said yes. No, you're right. So far, the answers are no. Probably most of these people don't have, are doing OGG or ACC. And, but so far we have 94 votes. And so far only 32% of you are in fact doing, MP3 playing. So, Please feel free to sign in and just answer the poll. And then once you're done with that, you can join us on my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And put in your opinion, asknick.com. Nick.com and put in your opinion.
What was that again?
AskNick.com. Thank you,
and put in your opinion.
Put in your opinion.
Record stuck. Record stuck. Record stuck.
There, you know, during the
it
week,
gets
there
worse, Hannah. Trust me.
There are going to be people who listen to the archives who are going to start hitting the side of their box.
Oh,
what happened here? So far, we have about 23 opinions, a couple of which actually have something to do with the poll this week, which I'm pretty impressed with.
Well, we average at least a couple. Not many, but usually a couple.
We usually get a couple among all the other stuff. I'll just say stuff.
Yeah.
And then that's so we'd like you to do that. And then once you're on our website, please feel free to join us in the forums. It's about the most fun you can have with when the show's not on the air. It's certainly free to be you can read the forums without even signing up as a member. Membership is free, but you do have to be a member to leave an opinion of any major sort. So we'd love to have you join us and see what we do. You can also find our the people who are on our forums are without a doubt the most talented people in the known universe.
Unbelievable.
In terms of art, they've been changing our logos regularly. You can see we're the group from Taxi now. I apparently appear to be Reverend Jim. And we have movie posters. We have secretly recorded calls. We have posters that I haven't put up in the poster section, some of which are very, very, very funny. We have all kinds of stuff. We also have a calendar of the local user group events. If you are the person who takes care of a calendar for your local user group, drop me a line, and I'll make sure that you get an email, get a username and password, so that you can update the calendar for your group.
And you also have a wonderful bunch of FAQs in there, including the Security Tango.
The Security Tango is up.
Which everybody who wants to call the show best have run before they call the show.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 90% of the time, we can answer your question. My machine runs too slow, something's not right, run the Security Tango, dance the tango, and you're done.
Dan, my technician. Up till now, I had the record for the most, finding the most spyware program,
yeah.
989.
Yeah.
I was upstairs working.
You're a baseball fan, aren't you?
Hmm?
You're a baseball fan,
no,
aren't
you?
No. You're not?
No.
God, everybody I know who loves statistics loves baseball. It's not about the game, it's about the stats.
No, it's just him and I trying to beat each other. So I was upstairs working, and he yelled, "Hey, broke the record." What? He goes, 1,075.
Broke the 1,000 mark.
Now, here's the bad thing. It's on my aunt and uncle's machine.
No! Gobbler's children have no shoes. At any rate, we'd love to have you join us on the website and be part of the continuing madness that goes on in the forums. Our next caller is Arthur from Greece. Welcome, Arthur. What's your question?
Hi, Nick.
Hi there.
I have a question. I go back to Frog Pond days, too.
Excellent.
I have Explorer XP, and I can't keep the display mode to be where I want it. It keeps going back 256 colors and so forth. It drives me nuts because the icons then get huge, and I can't use it.
Sounds like you've got a corrupt video driver.
A corrupt video driver.
Yes. Have you tried looking on the web for updated drivers for that particular video card?
No, I haven't. Where do I look?
All you got to do is find out the make and model of your video card. Go to that particular website.
Well, I have a Gateway.
Okay.
Start at Gateway's website.
Yeah, if you
what you need to know is the model of your machine, which is obviously going to be printed on the back or in
the Gateway has
a service tag.
It'll tell you what video card you got in there. Through Gateway, look for update for that particular video card. Because if it's not
holding the driver CD, you know.
No, that's...
Well, that's
no,
the original no, one, and that's probably not the one you want.
You want an updated one.
See, the problem is that CD could have been made... How old is your machine?
I bought it last May.
See, that video card is at least... driver disk is at least a year old.
Mm-hmm. If not longer.
If not longer, because they make them up way ahead of time, at the beginning of the life cycle of that model.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just never change it. Because their idea is that you will go to the Gateway website, type in your service tag number. They'll tell you what updates you need. You download them, install them. It's all up to you. That's
Is my service tag number that 25-digit one, or is it another one?
I don't think they're that long.
I don't think so either. I don't have a gateway, so I don't know. But it should say service tag number.
It's not,
in fact, go to the website, and they'll give you. I think they give you an example of what.
And where to find it.
Or right. Arthur, sometimes if you've already registered your machine,
yeah,
quite often you can put your name in, your full name, and that'll also link you to it.
Okay, and what's the name of the website again?
Gateway.com.
The manufacturer of your computer.
It's tried to call their number today, but. Like with you guys, I was waiting forever and never got a representative.
Yeah,
you'll be 35, 40
minutes. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, try that and let us know.
I will.
Thanks, Arthur.
All right, bye-bye.
The Frog Pond was the old bulletin board system that I ran on.
Hey, that could be. Yeah, I say that could be a trivia question, but everyone that was in it would remember what Frog stood for.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Not all of them. And if they did, if they knew it once, they've forgotten it by now because we're all old. Our next caller is Brian from Fairport. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hey, guys. I got a HP 9300 CDR burner, and it worked fine on 98SC. Try it with XP, and, of course, the driver doesn't work. And I went to the HP site, and all they have a driver for is 9300i. When you try to do that, it tells you that the driver is on the XP disk, and I can't even browse and find the driver folder.
What software are you using, like Nero or?
No, it's Roxio.
There were several patches to Roxio for XP.
Yeah.
It may be.
Yeah, is it version 4, 5, or 6?
I think it's 4, but I'm not sure. I went to Roxio site also.
Yeah, you got to get up to at least 5 for XP.
Okay, so I need to go to Roxio site?
Yeah, go to Roxio.
You may have to purchase it from 4 to 5.
No, they've still got the patches, though, that'll work.
The patches in 4, but to work best, you probably are going to have to purchase 5.
Or 6.
Or 6 now. They probably don't even sell 5.
So, off the HP site, though, would the 9300i work for the 9300 or no?
It'll let you know.
The 9300i is probably the internal IDE version, and the 9300 is external. Is it USB or FireWire? Parallel.
Either way, when you go to install, it checks the drive, and if it's not the right drive, you know, patch for that particular drive, it'll let you know.
Well, I don't want to order the wrong one, though. I have to pay for it.
Go to the web and look for the patch.
No, we're not talking about Roxio now. We're talking about the driver.
At Roxio, you can download a free patch for the version of Creator you have now.
Okay.
Or you can purchase the newest version of Creator, version 6, and that will work with almost any drive.
Yep.
Okay.
Can you play CDs on this drive?
I don't know. I actually sent it to my mom in Virginia, and it just keeps giving her errors.
Ah.
I don't even know if it'll read.
At one point, I'm pretty sure, I'm checking now, but I'm pretty sure we had the Roxio links on our website.
The other thing is, if it gives her errors all the time, it may be installed incorrectly. It may be, could be any one of a thousand things that need to be looked at before you go spending money on software.
Right, so I shouldn't even be on the HP site then?
Well, yes, you should download any of the free stuff they've got, but don't spend money until you've actually looked at the drive and seen whether or not it's installed
correctly. Yeah, all the free stuff didn't work. So.
Yeah.
Well, so then check Roxio's site for the free up patches from them.
Okay.
You know, here's the other thing. How much time have you spent on this? You know, for whatever it's going to cost you to get it done by a reputable dealer.
Over the phone to Virginia with my mom, half clueless. It's been a while.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it's going to cost you, what, $50 to get it done there?
Yeah.
How much is your time worth, her time, the phone calls?
Right.
You've spent more than that already.
Yeah.
Just bite the bullet. Get it done.
All right.
Okie doke.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks a lot. Sometimes the answer is bite the bullet.
Yeah.
And we do have the patch for EasyCD Creator 5 for Windows XP link on our fact list.
Right. He's actually got it on. He's got 4, but it gets him to close to the right place anyway.
4 or 5 or whatever.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Hannah, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
He has been hit hard and he's down.
You see them on the street every day.
He's going to need some help getting back on his feet.
The worried face without a home.
A bitter night out here.
The solemn eyes of a hungry child.
They're really feeling it.
Every day, over 1 million people are homeless, and even more go hungry. Help local youth groups tackle this problem. On Super Bowl Sunday, give to the Super Bowl of Caring. Call 800-358-SOUP, 800-358-SOUP. A message from Clear Channel Worldwide. Clear Channel cares.
When you consider an executive MBA, you want to choose the right program. The executive MBA from RIT provides immediate dividends for you and your organization.
You'll get an integrated understanding of management concepts, learn practical tools to use immediately in your work, and develop strategic thinking skills that give you and your business a competitive edge. Learn from professors who understand contemporary business challenges at a fully accredited institution with a growing national reputation. RIT's Executive MBA program offers a small class size to maximize interaction between students and faculty and create a strong sense of teamwork. Classes are held every other Friday and Saturday, so you can obtain your degree in only 2 years. To learn more about how the RIT Executive MBA program can pay immediate dividends for you, join us for an information session on Thursday, January 22nd at 5:30 p.m. at the RIT College of Business. For information, call 475-7435 or visit ritemba.com.
I want the paint color in my bedroom to match my great-grandmother's quill. Is that possible?
I can look my shower head square in the eye. Please tell me how I can raise it.
Every winter, I feel like I'm heating the whole neighborhood. How can I keep heat in my house?
The Home Depot is more than a store. It's where your home improvement questions go to turn into answers. And now it's better than ever, with the grand opening of a brand new store in Batavia. More products to choose from. More friendly people in orange aprons to show you how. And to give you the confidence to get any project done right. A new paint color solution center with the latest in color matching technology. And our Home Depot at-home services. Professionals that can get your project done for you. Stop by the new Home Depot in Batavia for special buys all weekend long. You'll find it on Veterans Memorial Drive just off the New York State Thruway. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Don't Oldsmobile deliver sound bites.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Greenfield Computer Services.
Closing in on 10 consecutive years of broadcasting, it's the Brenna and Brenna Law Forum this Sunday morning at 8 on 1180 WHAM.
Contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Placilla.
And I'm Hannah.
Right.
We knew we'd break her down.
We'd break her down. Ah, man, we're good. Okay, we're back with Sound Bites, and our next caller is Vince.
Hey, guys, great
Penfield.
Show.
Welcome, Vince. What's your question?
Hey, great show, guys.
Thanks.
I made a website.
Good for you.
Using Front Page.
Yeah,
bad for you.
Not good. Anyway, yeah.
It's quick and dirty.
Next,
with the emphasis
caller,
being
please.
On dirty.
Next caller, please.
So, it looks great when you use IE, of course.
Yeah.
But when you open it under Netscape, everything's out of line.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. How is everybody else doing it when they make a website that it works for both programs?
Not using Front Page.
Yeah, not using
VI. Microsoft doesn't care about anybody else but them.
He's not lying.
A lot of I'm not. And they use a lot of non-standard codes.
They're the Microsoft standard.
Which look great under IE and don't work with anybody else.
Mozilla.
So the question is, what is your website's goal? Is it, and I don't mean this in an evil or nasty way, mm-hmm. is it a vanity site, or are you selling something? Or
I opened a small business like a year ago, and I just want to promote it a little.
Then you really don't want to use Front Page because you want, it's like saying, every third person in our door, we're going to turn them away.
Oh, okay.
Because you're now saying only people using IE can come in. Now, that's an awful lot of people, and you may be happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, for example, I never use IE.
Same here.
Me neither.
Unless I use it to check my website. When I create a website, I check it in IE.
I don't even do that.
Wow.
Well, I do, but...
Yeah. Well, one thing you can do, for example, there are other tools. It depends on, A, how much you want to pay, and B, your coding skills. For example, if you're running the full version of Mozilla, there is a composer. Within Mozilla, on one of the options, like their address book or their mailer, there is a quick and dirty, with emphasis on quick, HTML composer that writes standard code. Mm-hmm.
you could get
you don't get fancy,
but you could get cold fusion.
Hot dog was one that was free, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that wasn't as WYSIWYG.
Yeah, coffee cup.
The big ones are Adobe Go Live and Macromedia Dreamweaver, but you're looking at $300-$400
right.
each.
And the other thing you could use is OpenOffice. If you create the document in OpenOffice, you can save as HTML, and it's standard HTML. It's standards compliant HTML.
In addition, IBM used to have Top something.
IBM used to have, I'll think about it in a second. HP Builder now.
HP Homepage Builder.
Homepage Builder. They changed the name of it, too, and I can't remember it.
Yeah.
But that was pretty good, too, and that was very standards compliant code. But as you're running into, front page assumes the only thing that's ever going to see is IE.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you viewed the source code, you would see the level of cruft that it puts in there.
Oh, it's huge, huge files.
You know, and I'm not exaggerating. Literally, you could take front page created sites and remove approximately 80% of the front page code, and it would look identical, except it would work this time.
And the big thing about that is if you've got people on dial-up, it takes forever to load the page.
Exactly. That's another problem I'm having, too. So.
Yes, and it's strictly because of front page. Now, again, like I said, there's nothing wrong with the front page product in the sense that it works. And if you're running a vanity site and it's pictures of your dog and it's you and your best friends looking at it, and you've all got IE, you're going to get a pretty sexy-looking page. But in your case, you want to open it up to the world. There are a whole bunch of people who won't wait for a page to load because they're on dial-up. There are a whole bunch of people in other countries who still run Lynx or a non-graphical browser. They turn off the graphics because they're paying by the minute for Internet access.
Wow.
So they don't want to spend 10 minutes downloading your page just to look at a picture or whatever. So they cut out the pictures. Well, guess what? In front page, you suddenly end up with almost nothing.
So I heard good things about Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver's great.
Excellent.
But it's not
expensive.
Cheap. On the other hand, it's a business expense.
Right.
And on the third hand, if you do a little bit of shopping around, like on eBay or someplace like that, you can get in one of the older versions of Dreamweaver, like Dreamweaver 2 or 3, which will probably, unless you're doing intensive database stuff, that will be perfect.
Yeah, so what are they up to now, then?
Dreamweaver?
No, they changed it.
It's Dreamweaver MX 2004.
Right. Okay. They changed the numbering scheme along about five.
It's probably seven or eight or the equivalent of that.
Yeah, but you should be able to find a copy of Dreamweaver 2, for example, for like $15 on eBay or something like that. That'll do anything you want.
Right. But if you do want to spend the $400, then, you know, it's a business expense anyway.
If you're doing animation, then Shock and Flash are sort of the animation.
I do have animation on there.
And that's part of the Dreamweaver Studio includes the Shockwave development and the Flash development.
Yeah. Right.
But then you're into the multi-$100 range.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it really depends on what you want to do. My suggestion is if you're going to open up a business, you want to open the door to everybody.
Right.
You know, it's like saying, I'm sorry you have blue eyes, you can't come into my store. Well,
yeah, you're right.
So it's a silly thing, and again, Microsoft wants to link everything together so that they own everything. Mm-hmm. That's fine for them. It's not fine for you.
Excellent.
Okie doke.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
We're going to take a quick break while some lawyer at Microsoft sues me, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Pulisella, Hannah, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
1996, 1997, 1998.
Year after year, the top-rated morning radio show in Rochester, New York is the Wham! Morning News.
1999,
2000,
2001.
The Wham! Morning News is number one.
Number one.
Beth Adams, Chet Walker, Bill Lau, Kevin Williams, Bill Klein, Brad Davies, Gary Smith.
2002, 2003.
Always the top-rated morning show in Rochester. Make no mistake, it's the Wham! Morning News.
I know you're sitting in your car listening to this. People are dying because I can't catch you. I know you're going to kill again. You're piecing it together. But so am I. I know who your next victim is. I know how you're going to kill her.
One man must connect with the mind of a serial killer before it's too late. Watch Wire in the Blood, television's most shocking crime thriller. Monday night at 9 Eastern and Pacific, only on BBC America.
It's endless shrimp. All the shrimp you can eat. Now at Red Lobster.
For your love. For your love. I give you everything and more, and that's for sure.
For
your love of shrimp scampi, for your love of freshly breaded shrimp, for your love of popcorn shrimp and shrimp pasta. It's Endless Shrimp at Red Lobster. All the mouth-watering shrimp you can eat for a limited time, only at Red Lobster.
Wham's Bob Matthews.
The only thing you can't do in baseball.
Weeknight, 6 till 8.
Flat out can't do.
On the sports leader.
Is gamble on the game.
News Radio 1180 WHAM. Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest running computer show. On News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Why does he sound like that's a bad thing? I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Pusilla.
And I'm Hannah.
Excellent.
All right.
And for the last caller, the one thing we couldn't remember, it was WebSphere is the IBM tool, and that's a very, very good thing. That's kind of like a compromise halfway between Front Page and the evilness that is the macromedia.
The expense that is.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant. It's a great tool. It's a great product.
The evil of Front Page and the expense of macromedia is WebSphere.
Dreamweaver goes for about $1,000.
Well, the entire macromedia studio with Flash and Dreamweaver and Fireworks and Cold Fusion and the whole bit is $1,000.
WebSphere is less than $100.
Yeah. So start with WebSphere, which you can probably you will find a link and put it on our website because we'll make him do that. Our next caller, well, we talk to Mark from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
I upgraded from ME to XP about 3 months ago.
Dave, thank you.
And as far as I know, everything's working fine. At least everything's working that I use. And now when for the last 2 weeks, I turn the computer on and I get a gray screen. There's Phoenix BIOS and there's a list a whole bunch of stuff. And then it gets system BIOS shadowed, video BIOS shadowed, and then the error says system checksum bad, default configuration used.
Okay, it sounds like might be an issue with one of the memory sticks. Did you recently add memory?
Yes.
Try taking that memory stick out and see if it goes away. If it is, you've got a mismatch memory or a bad memory stick.
Okay, even though
I almost think it might be a CMOS battery, even, because it's coming back with a checksum on the BIOS check.
Yeah, but that's usually, again...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just some CMOS checksum bad.
One thing you can do is there's a setting in there that you can say go back to defaults.
Well, first, you should go into the BIOS and find out where it's shadowing the BIOS and turn that off.
Yeah, there's a tool in the BIOS that says shadow video memory and shadow...
Yeah, and if that's going bad, then he's got a bad motherboard.
Well, but what I'm saying is that if the problem happens after he shadows the BIOS, then the problem is the RAM, which is what you originally said.
Right, but so that's why I say the easiest thing, instead of playing around with that first, is just pop the memory out first.
Right,
see if that corrects it, then he'll know.
Then he'll know it's the RAM.
The memory stick. Because otherwise, if it's going into the...
right, because you don't want to use that memory anyway if it's not good.
Right. So give that a shot.
Okay, on the bottom it says F1 setup and F2 to resume.
F1 to setup.
And then F2 to resume. So I've just been hitting F2 because I went into F1 twice and I got into places that I had no idea where I was
then
going.
First take out the memory stick and see if that goes away. If it does, then you know...
It's the memory stick.
It's the memory stick and you just got to return it for another one.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you so much.
Yep. Right.
And make sure if you do get a memory stick that it's the same making...
Well, the thing of it is he could have, say, PC-100 in there, and he went out and bought, which is very common nowadays, you can get the PC-133. 133s don't always play well with the PC-100. Some motherboards will accept them.
Some won't.
Slow down. Right. Others will give the checksum error.
And we're all about buying the memory that's cheap, because it's,
And PC-133 is cheaper than the PC-100 now.
Because they've stopped making the older, slower ones.
Yeah, but, realistically, if you want memory that is going to work, Kingston are crucial.
Yep.
Right.
That's as simple as that.
How much simpler does it get, exactly?
Sometimes cheap is bad.
Yeah.
It's too cheap.
Right, exactly. And that's a problem. Something to worry about. Seems like the cam died on me. That's bad. Okay. Or maybe not. Cam continues. Doesn't matter. I don't care because we're going to talk to Vito from Chi-Li.
Hey. Hello. Hello, guys.
How are you?
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure, our pleasure.
I need your expert opinion.
We have opinions we got.
Okay, well, maybe clues, too. I purchased a DVD burner, and it'll play my video CDs, but it won't play a commercial DVD, and it won't play a DVD that I make. So what happens is when I put it in for the commercial one, the FBI warnings page comes up, and the screen freezes in about another second, and that takes about a second. In another second, the mouse is gone, and then the whole computer is locked up. And that happens with the ones I make, too.
So the disc it makes in itself won't play back on itself?
Right, and commercial ones won't play back.
Is it plus, minus, or plus and minus?
The disc I'm using?
The burner.
Or both,
It's got all formats. It takes care of plus, minus.
Right. It should be a minus to be compatible with other DVD players.
Yeah, I believe the ones I'm burning are minus. But I'm using Power DVD XP 4.0 version.
But that shouldn't matter because if a pre-made commercial DVD isn't playing, so it's not software. What kind of video card?
I have a ATI video card,
which
is 32 megabytes of RAM.
Which ATI video card?
I'll look it up for you. It's a Magnum Expert. A Magnum ATI Magnum Expert 128.
Okay, that is actually an older video. That may be the situation where the video card. The engine in the video card can't.
May not.
Yeah.
You could try seeing if there's newer drivers for that card.
Yeah. I've got the most update driver for it.
Okay.
I went into Deja News, and this problem is very prevalent with the software.
Is there an upgrade for the software?
There is, but people have put the upgrade in, and it doesn't make a difference.
You might want to try Roxio then.
Well, that's what I'm really calling for. Is it's being a software-based burner, it's got all kinds of problems, I guess. But I don't know of any hardware-based ones, so I was. Went to your site, and I couldn't find any DVD burner software for playing, actually.
If you want to take a look at freeware.com and do a search on that, you said Windows XP, right?
No, it's Windows 98.
Okay. Look at freeware.com as a link and do search. They have a nice hierarchical build-out, and they have some either shareware or freeware video and audio players, editors, yada, 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 that might be worth trying. That would be the first place I would start.
Particularly in terms of just playing back what you burned. When you burn this stuff, does it play in a regular DVD player?
Here's the thing. I burned some files that I had as AVI files, and the burner software then converted it over to MPG, and they played in a regular, and they also played in this one here.
Okay,
but
that's VCD. That's not DVD.
No. This wasn't VCD. I recorded it as AVI from a capture card that I have on the computer, and then I used that file to make a DVD.
Okay, and that played in a real DVD player.
That played in a real, and it played in my computer too. But when I generate a file with another capture card that I have, which is a little bit better,
apparently not.
Well, it makes a what they call a let's see if I can tell you what it's a different file, and that one it generates a VOB file.
It's well, for
a video -TS folder, and then it creates a VTS.
Yeah, that's the standard DVD video format using MPEG-2.
But I'm not really. I think I might be able to figure that out. The main thing is it won't play a commercial disc.
Yes. I think you need. You're on the right track. I think the problem. It sounds like the problem is the playback software, not the burning software. So as Tony said, try the playback. Because if you can't play a commercial. Thing, then it's got to be the playback software. So try what Tony said. And that's
what is that site again, Tony?
Freeware.com.
That's the place I'd start.
Okay. If you could get a chance, if you put one on your site, it would be helpful.
Steve is looking that up right now.
His fingers
are clean.
Freeware.com has been purchased by CNET, and it sends you to download.com.
So it's what is it
I'll
called?
I'll find it.
Download.com.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.
It's an interesting little problem. People want to do a whole lot more with their computers these days, and sometimes that's just not as easy as it could be.
Yeah. And he's using 98 and trying to run modern software.
See, that's the other part of the
that's
problem.
That's where, again, you get into, you're being forced into the XP world.
Yeah.
And sometimes the machines won't handle it either.
There was no such thing as DVD playback
when
98 was written.
Right, exactly. Okay, our next caller is Morris from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Morris. What's your question?
Hi, I'm a simple guy, so I have a simple question.
God bless you.
I have Windows XP.
Getting simple, Morris.
What's that?
It just stopped getting simple. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, I have a question about the taskbar. When it boots up, I have 14 icons on the taskbar. And once in a while, when it boots up, it just stops, and there's a glitch there. I call them tons of glitches.
Yeah.
And the only way I can't turn it off or anything, I have to turn the power off, start over again.
What you can do is, if you want to get rid of some of those,
yeah.
If you while the Windows is starting up, you can hold down the control key or hit F8. You will get the menu for the XP. It'll sit there and say safe mode, normal mode, you know, yada, yada, yada. If you boot up in safe mode, none of those programs will get loaded.
Yeah.
What you can then do is, once it's booted up into safe mode, go to start, go to run, type in msconfig. That's all one word, msconfig.
Yeah.
Hit enter. You'll go over to the tab that says startup. In there, you will see all the programs that are getting loaded on your taskbar. Now, if you don't use all of those, say like Real Jukebox or MS Messenger, you can uncheck them.
Yeah, a lot of the problem is that you need to know what each of those icons is, what program they're for, and then how to uninstall or remove that program.
Quite often, though, you can figure out from the description of the icon versus...
Or the path name it's
yeah.
in.
And, well, the nice thing about this, though, is even if you uncheck it, it's not going to do any harm when you restart it. It just doesn't load that particular thing. And you can always, you know, if I want to turn that back on, go back into MS Config
yeah,
and turn it back on.
If something you try
I
to
go,
do,
I go,
work.
I turn on, go to press F8, right?
Yeah, well, we can't walk you through it right now. But like I say, just hit F8, go to safe mode, and type in MS Config and start turning some of those things off, especially look for the one that's giving you a problem.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right, one other question. What's the difference between an icon on the screen and an icon on the taskbar? Do they do the same thing, or what's the idea?
Yes, they're the same thing. It's just one's on the desktop. Now, if you're talking about the lower toolbar down in the lower right-hand corner, those are items that are running.
And that's the system tray.
Right.
The taskbar is the rest of the bar at the bottom that shows you currently running Windows.
And if you don't need those, you can just right-click on the toolbar and say, don't show taskbar. And we'll take those off that taskbar for you.
They'll still be running. It just won't show them to you.
Right. Yeah, okay. Okay, thanks a lot, fellas.
Okay.
Have a good computer day.
You too.
Thanks, you too. It's a good day to stay indoors and play with your computer, isn't it? We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Hannah, and Nina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Your tray table locked, your seat back upright, and the flight attendant has already informed you of the dual nature of your seat cushion. But still, you wait, bound to the earth like a flightless bird. Yes, a dodo. While somewhere out there a snowstorm conspires against you, this, my friend, is time you will not get back. Make up for lost time. Every Nextel phone has a built-in walkie-talkie, so things get done faster. Sign up now and get unlimited coast-to-coast walkie-talkie, plus 500 anytime minutes, unlimited nights and weekends, and long distance included, all for just $49.99 a month. Trade up to Nextel. Bring your number. Nextel. Done. Offer ends February 1st, 2004. Two-year agreement required. $200 early termination. Account setup fees, taxes, charges, and other restrictions apply. Local number portability available in select areas. Phones by Motorola. Legal disclaimer. Done.
Trade up to Nextel. Bring your number and join more than 12 million customers who rely on Nextel to get things done. Visit your local Nextel store at 2496 West Ridge Road or call 1-800-NEXTEL-9 for more information. Nextel. Done.
Not ready for winter driving yet? Need tires? Now's the time to buy. All Goodyear Auto Service Centers are having a stockroom tire clearance sale now through Monday. Choose from Goodyear, Dunlop, and Republic brands of tires. Savings are heating up, so wait no longer. Goodyear has tires to fit every driving need. All-season tires? On sale. Tires for luxury vehicles? On sale. Tires for light trucks and SUVs? On sale. Snow tires? On sale. Tires for the second car? On sale. And only through Monday. Are you getting the message yet? All Goodyear Auto Service Centers have every tire on sale now. Dunlop tires, Republic tires, and Goodyear tires are all on sale. It's cold out and Goodyear's prices are hot, hot, hot. If that's not enough, open it new Goodyear credit card and save from $25 to $50. Ask store associates for details. Why wait any longer? Were you ready for the last cold spell? If not, get ready now at Goodyear. All tires on sale. All stores open special hours this weekend, including Sunday 9 to 4 and Monday till 10 p.m. Call or stop into your nearest Goodyear store. Go to Goodyear, where they inflate your tires, not your prices.
Sound Bites, powered by Patrick Claudia.
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
Where does Rochester turn for objective financial information? To Money and More, hosted by the Partners of the Horizon Group, every Sunday morning at 7 on 1180 WHAM.
They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Sound Bites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Placilla.
Oh, and I'm Hannah.
All right.
She got her, now she's anticipating. She's
excited,
stepping all over.
She wants to do this. It's big for her.
Yeah.
Our next caller is Tom from Rochester. Come over to the dark side, Hannah. Our next caller is Tom from Rochester. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Thank you. I got two quick questions.
Yeah.
I use an ISP. If I'm away from the desk, is there a way to keep that connection alive?
Yes. How long will you be away from your desk?
An hour.
It depends. Is it a dial-up or
yes,
is it...
dial-up.
It's dial-up. Yeah, there are small programs you can download, again, from download.com called
yes,
Keep Alive.
Keep Alive?
Keep.
Oh, Keep Alive.
Alive to
keep
alive. The thing alive. Basically, you set it up to, like, ping something every 10 minutes or,
okay,
you know,
another,
check for your email.
Right, a common thing to do is leave your email program running.
I'll leave your email running?
Yeah, you can do that. If you check for email every 5 minutes, it'll make a connection every 5 minutes.
You've got to go in there and change the settings in your email to do that.
Okay.
You can also make sure you check your remote access settings so that you don't have idle disconnect.
Okay. Check remote. The other thing is there an application that will scramble where you've been on the net? So if somebody was Googling me, so I could suppress that?
No.
I don't quite know what you mean. I don't know how somebody would Google you.
Well, have you ever used Google Alert?
Oh, I see what you're
saying. Yeah, if you post a message in a forum somewhere or on a news group somewhere, you exist on the Internet, and there's the only way to not be listed like that is to not do any posting.
That or go through
an anonymous redirect.
Well, how about it? I mean, if I'm just viewing a web page, is there a way to suppress that? Is there an application that will scramble that?
There are companies that have anonymizers, basically things that will hide you on the internet. There are a couple of companies out there that do that.
Okay. McAfee?
No, none of them. There's a company called Anonymizer.
Oh, okay.
There are a couple of others out there that whose names I don't have in my head.
That was real big in Finland for a while. You go through an anonymous redirect. You send everything to this company, and it sends it to the internet.
Sends it on out.
And they still exist.
Okay.
You just have to do a little bit of searching for it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
It is kind of scary to Google yourself and see what shows up.
Mm. Yeah, it frightens me every time I do it. I'll tell you that right now. Our next...
It's actually, well, see, I have the same name as a famous person, so it takes three or four pages before I get to me.
Right.
But I'm there.
So do you ever put down, like in your SIG, Steve Ray, no, the other one.
Yeah.
Our next caller is Dave, calling us all the way from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
How you doing, guys?
Good,
excellent
how are you?
Program.
Thanks.
Real quick, got a laptop that both physically and electronically is starting to show its age, so I'm looking for a new one.
Mm-hmm.
What I did with this one is I upgraded to Windows XP Professional, so I've got the licensed upgrade here.
Mm-hmm.
Can that be transferred over to a new laptop that comes with XP Home?
Why would you need a Professional versus Home?
For networking reasons at work.
Yeah. Well, then you'd have to wipe it. You've got to wipe it off the old laptop.
Okay.
And then do a fresh install, and then you're going to have to call Microsoft because it's already been registered once. Let them know what you're going to do it, what you're doing.
I would suggest you lie to them. Your laptop died. You're buying another one, and you need Pro for work, and you'd like to put that license on.
Yeah, this one's been used commercially for about 3 years. It's just about ready to die, guys. Yeah. That's why I'm doing it before it does happen.
Then, go ahead and wipe it, you know.
But you can actually give them a call to transfer the license over there.
Well, yeah, they'll move it for you. We've done that before.
Okay.
I've had a client, literally, they had an old Toshiba satellite, and it was dying. We were able to get the hard drive, get the data off, and they came in with a new Sony Vaio, and I had to, was nothing on it. So we moved their XP over, called Microsoft, and told them exactly what we were doing, that this one was on there, which they had it registered. We said, the thing died. We're now moving it over to this one. They said, okay, and they gave us a new registration number. We typed it in, and away they went.
Then as a backup, can I take a registered version that I don't use anymore of, say, Windows 98 SE and throw it on here?
Onto the old machine?
Yeah.
Yeah, once you wipe a system off, as long as it's not on some other machine.
No, it's not.
Then it's still legally yours, and as long as that one license is only on one machine, that's the key thing.
Yeah, the other one went into the trash, recycled about 2 years ago.
Yep.
Second question, real quick. Is there any documentation under the Windows Taskmaster for the number of processes? I've got about 40 running right now, and I think it's really dragging down the limited memory on here.
XP?
XP, correct.
That's about right, about 40 processes.
Yeah. How much memory you got in the thing?
Well, that's the unfortunate part when I bought it. It's only got 384, and that's maxed out.
Yeah.
On the two chips, that's as much as the BIOS will handle, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, 40 running processes is pretty standard for an unlimited XP system.
Okay.
That's
about the best you're going to get.
Great show, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next caller is Joe from Buffalo. Welcome back, Joe. What's your question?
Howdy. I have a Windows 2000 ME question.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was hoping to get Dave's goat with that. But
I'm going to play confused. See, you settled him down with the 2000, so he kind of got low.
I figured he went from ME to 2000, so that's why I'm cutting a little slack.
No, actually, I was calling about that guy that was just starting up his business, and you were discussing various HTML composers.
Right, Vince from Penfield.
Now, is there something that guy can do? Suppose his hosting company only supports front page extensions to the web server. Can he compose in one and then upload with...
That's the whole problem with front page, is those extensions will only work with front page and they'll only work with Internet Explorer.
Right. So if that's what we're talking about, those front page extensions won't work in any other browser.
And
you can write code without them. They're only for the fancy dancy sexy things that, you know,
graphics,
spinning wheels and things like that.
Yeah.
Well, if the server serves web pages, front page doesn't matter jack. You know, you can write plain HTML with a text editor and put it up there. There's no such thing as a web server that will only serve front page.
No. What I'm talking about is the transport from his computer to his provider, the front page extensions, to get the pages there.
Oh, no, that's not extensions. That's front page transfer. You can FTP
it. FTP.
You can log onto a shell and write it right on the server for that.
Well, that's providing they provide FTP or WebDAV or some other way to get it there.
Right.
Well, I guess the other question is, are there any providers out there that would only allow you to upload your pages with the front page web server?
None I know of.
No doubt it.
They're in the same boat Vince is in. They want the most customers on earth. Mm-hmm. So if I called them up and said, I'm a Linux guy and I want to upload my website, the answer is going to be yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So there's no
they
point in somebody's going
no
to say, we don't
anybody.
Want your money.
Right. Yeah.
And you must use front page.
Yeah. Okay, if you've got most of the thing, this is what I do for a living, but most of the service providers, the ISPs and the co-locators and hosting providers, they don't run IIS. IIS,
which means they cannot run front page.
Well, they can, but they don't limit you. There are front page extensions for Apache. They're pigs.
Oh yeah,
but they don't limit you to how you transfer your data. Matter of fact, most of them prefer you don't use front page.
Ooh, good.
They will let you use front page, but they prefer you don't. You pay extra for the ability to upload with front page, and have front page extensions.
All the extra junk front page sticks
in. Co-locator that says you can only use front page, well, they went out of business about 5 years ago.
Yeah. They shot themselves not only in one foot, but the other.
Okay. And the other thing I was wondering about, did any of you guys see the the spam conference at MIT yesterday on the web.
No, I didn't get to. No, I really wanted to, too.
Well, they have the archive files up there. You could probably watch them just about any time until they take them down. But
yes,
one interesting concept they had on there was an email address that has policies, like I can only receive mail from this domain or the next three domains to try to send to it. And you can lock it up so that no more domains can send it. There, it's a really interesting presentation. I know it's long. There's four files in there that are like an hour and a half apiece. But for anti-spam guys, it's well worth a look.
Hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that's actually being used by on some companies that are particularly anal. They're using extensions to Bayesian spam filters. Company called Active State, which though you were from the programming environment, remember Active State Perl, which is like the best Perl environment for Windows. They have a Bayesian built based server side spam filter that actually you have the ability to do those policies. It's very restrictive, and they're also talking about PGP encoded signatures for trust authentication, the whole PKI concept. It's just, you know, this is going to be the next ongoing battle.
Yeah.
It used to be virus, now it's going to be spam.
Yep.
Yep.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Bye.
Appreciate it, Joe. Our next caller is Colleen from Perry, New York. Welcome, Colleen.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
My question is about tax preparation programs. I heard that TurboTax has some spyware that it puts on your system. I was wondering if that was actually the truth and whether or not you can recommend some kind of tax preparation program.
Well, TurboTax and TaxCut are the two big ones.
Yeah, they're the big ones.
TurboTax last year got in a got customers in a stink because what they did is they put it was like a, similar to the Windows registration key. You could install it on one machine, and if you tried to install it on another machine, it would bork, or if you made changes to the machine, it would bork. It wouldn't let you reinstall. It's an authentication piece.
Bork, by the way, is an official technical term. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, it means it would break badly. But they got there was an immense amount of customer heat, and they're no longer doing that. It's installing just like any other piece of software.
Yep.
So I personally use TurboTax online on the web. I like the program. I can't use it at home because it doesn't run Linux, but on Linux.
Yeah.
But this is a case where people raised up enough of a stink that the customers said, well, you know what? We better listen to our customers and not do this. So I am unaware of any spyware embedded within TurboTax. And the nature of the sensitivity of the data that you're playing with there,
they don't want to go there.
They will, because they could get their sued seriously if they compromised your data.
Especially since you're putting in personal information.
Yeah, well, that's what I was wondering about. It seemed unusual to me, and I didn't know whether or not that was true.
I think that's just one of those urban legends, you know, again, because like Tony was saying, they just don't want to get into that ball of wax because they could be sued from here to kingdom come.
Yeah, really.
Well, you heard what Tony said they were doing last year, and that's probably where the urban legend started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not really spyware, and you should be fine
with it. Part of that encryption key that Microsoft is using and Adobe is using, Macromedia is using, is it looks at your computer and takes some serial numbers out of like your hard drive and your motherboard and whatnot, and you makes a key out of that. And so that's where some people might thought it was spyware.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay, looks like we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who's voted in the polls. There's only 124 of you. I don't know where the rest of you are waiting for, but get on there now. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, and particularly Hannah for not only keeping us on the straight and narrow and putting up with us between during the commercials. We'll be back next Saturday here on 1180 WHAM. I'm Nick Francesco. This is Soundbites.
The following conversation is real. It took place on November 4th.